All right. Hi, everybody. Welcome to the Dream Team podcast, where we talk about how to pursue Jesus, how to pursue people, and how to pursue excellence and what that means as a dream team, as we do this together, as we serve God's people, and as we serve the church. I'm really excited to be here chatting about it.
It's a good time. It's good to be back in
September.
September is here.
Yes, it is.
Holy smokes. Which means summer is gone and fall is upon us.
Gone. Except that it's 80 out right now.
It is a weird season, thus is fall.
I don't like it being 80 when I want to wear sweaters.
Yeah, what, like, if you were to create your ideal fall day, what does it include?
Ooh.
What do you look forward to in the fall?
It includes it being cool enough to wear a sweater or a sweatshirt all day.
Yeah.
It includes some good coffee.
Coffee's good.
It includes maybe a trip to, like, Soleil's. Farm, I think I pronounced that right, S-Z-A-L-A. That's a pretty cool thing. We did it last year, and you get, like, fresh corn on the cob and cider and pick out a pumpkin, and it's truly idyllic.
That sounds awesome.
And then just cozying up in the night, in the evening, reading a book,
yep.
Chilling.
Yep.
Maybe more coffee.
Coffee's good. Mm-hmm. Yeah. As I sit at Cave, as I do, I hear orders, and there's been more and more pumpkin orders.
Pumpkin spice.
It's happening.
Call me basic. I do not care.
It, you know,
it is delicious.
It's not something I indulge in. Jess indulges in it quite a lot.
It's good.
It's good during this time of year.
It's only once. It's only a couple months out of the year.
Here's the secret, though. I'm going to just divulge of a secret. Cave has it all year round.
All year round.
They have pumpkin all year round.
But why do I not want it in March?
Well, see, that's the thing. No one really cares that it's all year rounds because you don't want it all year round. So it is what it is.
Doesn't make sense.
Yeah. Well, I like that stuff, but primarily I look forward to football and all the good fall. I don't know why fall, summer has amazing food. Fall has a different set of really good food.
Oh, yeah.
And so there just feels like there's some football food that I enjoy. Uh-huh. But it's good. You know, it's good.
A nice warm soup,
yeah.
Chili.
Yeah. All these big event holiday things,
uh-huh.
Like land in fall.
Looking forward to them.
It's just like so much fun with the kids. So I'm excited for all those things, mm-hmm. Like memories that get made and whatnot. And
oh, yeah.
It's good. But yeah, we're in the fall. That's where we're at.
Indeed. All right, so we're kind of recapping our party night, which is exciting.
Yeah.
If you were at our party night, we're glad that you joined us.
Yeah.
It was a great night to spend worshiping and fellowship with each other and just kind of really leaning into what our vision for the fall is going to be. I know I had a great time with my first impressions and creative arts folks, just chatting through some stuff on how we can be better, how we can continually do the things we talk about as the Dream Team, pursue Jesus, excellence, and people. And we spent a good time doing that. So I thought it was a good night.
It was a good night. And I think first, I just want to say thank you to our dream team because it is in particular, I think about the ongoing commitment to that, right?
Mm-hmm.
The saying yes to the calendar invites or the serving invites. And for a lot of dream team members, that comes very consistently. And so
yep.
I know it gets tiring and I know it gets exhausting or it gets complex at times around personal schedules and whatnot, but I appreciate everyone so much
and
their willingness. I was talking to you earlier, and this goes for any church, but like every Sunday we pull off a 200, 250 person event, which we don't call an event, it's a service, but we need people who are willing to prepare for that and prep for that, and our dream team is so essential to that.
Mm-hmm.
And so we are deeply appreciative of you guys. I think secondly, it was fun to just like get everybody connected to the fall stuff. So we talked about things to come. We talked about things that were. I talked about what it means on the dream team to be a servant, be servant minded, and how we're invited into that based on being, in Jesus and how that new identity takes a hold of us. And so all of that's really good. And then we had great time with our teams, praying, celebrating, all that good stuff. So it's exciting to see what God's doing. Some new faces were here. Some new faces will be jumping in this fall, which is exciting.
Yep.
And the hope is that we just keep connecting people to their kind of fit inside of serving around here. So it's good.
And in our previous podcasts, we've talked a lot about pursuing Jesus and pursuing people. So today we are going to really highlight how do we pursue excellence. This is making Jesus make sense. It is striving to do the best with what we have, which is one of our values here at Grace Church. Pursuing excellence is doing more so that we can encourage people and we can create an environment for people where it's distraction free. And that doesn't mean, I tell my creative arts team this all the time, that doesn't mean we're consistently seeking out perfection, but that means we are striving to be the best that we can be for Jesus, who has done the most for us by laying down his life. And I think we get to talk about what this means as a follower of Christ. And one quote that we have here is that serving God should elevate our level of excellence in every part of our lives, not lower them. And I think I see this in my own life, how I can maybe let things slack in my personal life, but then in other ways it's going the opposite direction, and I want to find ways in pursuing excellence, pursuing Jesus, how we can even those things out a little bit more.
Yeah, it's an interesting quote, right? It's I think there is an immense amount of grace that God has given us. The gospel tells us about this immense amount of grace, this gift that we've been given through Jesus and his life, his death, resurrection. And what in reminding ourselves of that, what that ought to do is it ought to spur us on to continually want to pursue him, follow after him, and grow in the process of that. And so that's why I love this idea of pursuing excellence and how it makes Jesus make sense. That in the way that we treat other people, in the way that we play out our lives, not just here on the Dream Team, but in everyday things, really can give a image or a visual of who Jesus is and what he's done for our life. And so excellence is less of get it right so that you can please God. Excellence is less of get it right so that you can prove yourself, get it right so that you can be in the right with God. It's more of a response to the grace that God's given us. And so I want to do the best with everything I have, like you said, and I want to set my life on display so that people see Jesus. And that's why we tagged when we talked about this, the Dream Team Creed, that's why we tagged living to make Jesus make sense at the end of this one, because pursuing excellence isn't a matter of getting it all perfect and making it all fancy and like everything goes perfectly well. It's a matter of making Jesus make sense in all of the things that we do, every part of our life. But then you boil it down to the Dream Team side of things. Anything we do around here, we want to continually make Jesus make sense. And that's going to play out both in how we prepare ourselves and come in and make the environment the best that we can. And when things don't go the way we think they're going to go, we also, how we respond makes Jesus make sense. And so today we just wanted to spend some time just talking about some very simple things to think about when it comes to making Jesus make sense through pursuing excellence. What does that mean at a general level? And then our hope is to keep having conversations around pursuing excellence as we go. And so at very general level, what does this mean to allow ourselves in serving God and following Jesus to be elevated in our level of excellence, not lower them, not to kind of diminish them, but to pursue them in a lot of different ways? So there's three things we're going to talk about. It's to be efficient, be effective, and to be engaging. So be efficient, be effective, and be engaging, right? And so inside of that, before I get into those specifically, there's another quote. There's a book I got a lot of these quotes from. It's called H3 Leadership, and it's an excellent kind of quick read of a lot of leadership conversations around what it means to follow Jesus. And one of the things that the author says is set standards that scare you. And so I think when it comes to excellence, that is one of the definitions you can use for excellence, is setting standards that scare you. And I don't think it's so much like an actual fear tactic mode. It's personally, am I willing to pursue areas where I don't feel comfortable all the time? Am I willing to pursue this in levels that I don't feel comfortable with all the time? Am I willing to try to make this better, even if I don't know how to? That we set standards that scare us because we want to seek to make Jesus make sense no matter what, right? And so when it comes to being efficient, effective, and engaging, we want to, first and foremost, kind of come at it from the foundation of we want to always be setting standards that scare us, that a little bit of like, how are we going to do this and how is this going to play out? and relying on the grace and wisdom of God in the process. And so be efficient. A couple of things that I think about with this, especially inside of what it means to serve on the dream team. So all of this is kind of enveloped in the dream team. Now, it can be a part of our personal life, right? And so you and I, Paige, we don't just work at the church. We also have families. We also have neighbors. We also do things in the community. We lead other things. And so all of this plays out inside of people's lives on a daily basis in a lot of different ways. The first is be efficient. And I would say this, that there is a level of preparedness that comes within this statement, right? How we come in prepared, how we come in with planning, how we come in with the mindset of am I ready to go with whatever I'm supposed to do? And so I think the first thing underneath of this is, am I prepared? Am I prepared to play the role that I'm supposed to play? Now, you and I know this, right? There's two levels of being prepared. One is like being prepared on paper, like you have all the things organized. The other level is, am I mentally prepared? Mm-hmm. Which is a whole different ball game of preparedness, right? It's like I can see the things, I can know what's going to happen, but when I walk through the door, am I mentally prepared to serve others? Yep. And I think that part is where the rubber meets the road often, is like, how do I take it from paper to like actually boots on the ground in a lot of ways. So the first one I think is underneath be efficient is kind of this preparedness. I also think in being efficient inside of pursuing excellence is building a consistency. And I think to myself, it's a consistency that not only has impact with people, but also has impact, we just call it the program, right? That when I'm consistent and I'm in front of people and leading people, right? There's something about the effectiveness and efficiency, as the word goes, to impacting their life because I'm around them. And then there's also this level of being consistent in showing up that makes the job that I'm doing way better over the long haul because I am figuring things out as I go. And the more that I do it, the more I figure out, the better it becomes. And all of a sudden, I'm able to train others in it. And so efficiency comes with being prepared. It also comes with being consistent. And then lastly is always seeking to constantly improve, right? And so this one can be taxing at times because it means change. And I think just natural human instinct is like anti-change. We like change in theory, but when change comes, it's hard, it's taxing, and there's no way around that. It just is. But when we're always constantly looking to improve, we're always willing to look and say, what needs to be changed so that not we look better or so that the program is the smoothest it's ever been, but ultimately so that Jesus is made sense of. And so anything little to big that needs to be improved, underneath that umbrella is seeking to make Jesus make sense in the arena that we sit in here as the dream team. And I think that that is one of those things of being efficient. The more efficient we are, the more that we're looking to improve things to be able to share the love of Jesus, right? And so I would say preparedness, consistency, improving. Any underneath of the be efficient, any stick out to you or that you think resonates with you in particular?
Yeah, I think that constantly improving. I think that this is all something, especially coming from someone who is sometimes or a lot of the time ends up being a perfectionist in a lot of ways. See constantly improving as something that maybe scares me too much because I see other people who do things really well and I'm like, I could never get to that level. I could never be that good. So why do I try? Yeah. I think being excellent and setting a standard that scares you is saying I will constantly improve even if I'm scared of it. And even if like someone who's anxious like I am would see that and be maybe put on edge thinking I need to constantly be getting better when I already am scared of not being good enough. So I think that that is something that is definitely a difficult thing, but something that can produce a lot of fruit and can really grow you not only as a person, but also in how you're able to serve.
Yeah. I think underneath this one of being efficient, something that has to be said is as we seek to be efficient, we also seek to be graciously efficient. That maybe that, I don't know if it's the best way to put it. It's just the way I think about it. Sometimes in being efficient to be excellent, we can lose sight of grace and love and mercy. And so I never want us as a dream team to be running over each other, running over people so that we can be the most efficient, effective. We got it done. But excellence should both pull efficiency and effectiveness and grace, that we should be doing it with a joyful heart. Mm-hmm. And we should be, as we seek to improve, sometimes we have to seek to improve ourselves and what we're doing. Sometimes it's the team, sometimes it's someone else, that we're having those conversations in a gracious, humbling, inviting way, that it's not a knock on them, but it's an invitation into something more and an invitation to see something that maybe is not seen. I would say oftentimes I don't know what I don't know, right? Someone has to call it out and speak into me. And so when it's done well, like I'm like, I want that. And so we always have to be graciously walking into that. So be efficient. The second is be effective. And I think inside of this, right, as we learn to be efficient, what happens is we become effective, and we, as we pursue excellence and we're seeking to do that in just kind of the day-to-day nitty-gritty stuff, we start to see effectiveness kind of play out. And the hope with effectiveness is not we get seen, but that Jesus gets seen, and that we would have more opportunities to make Jesus make sense as we go. Booker T. Washington, he says this: excellence is doing common things in uncommon ways. And so I think being effective ultimately takes the common things that we're going to do every Sunday or Wednesday night or Sunday night or events, and doing it in uncommon ways that people are like, that's different. That looks different. And so I think the first thing that sits under this is what are common things we can do uncommonly? How can we open a door that is a very common, come on in kind of moment, and do it in uncommon ways? Not weird ways, but just ways that are like above and beyond welcoming, ways we can do coffee, ways we can do an event, all of those things. And so I think that it's not simply just doing the thing, but looking for ways to make it, I don't know if special is too frilly of a word, but make it something that people look and say, that was done in a way that points me to something greater, like points me to something beyond this moment of opening the door or setting up the table or or welcoming people in or leading in from the front worship-wise, things of that nature. And so doing that, being effective in that way, I think secondly, being effective means we need to learn to anticipate. So excellence is always looking for the opportunity to respond, but also it's looking for the opportunity to actively kind of like get there before it's happening, right? Being able to, and I think this comes right off of being efficient, is the more consistently you're in it, the more active you're looking to improve things, the more the long haul of doing things, you start to learn to anticipate where things need to be done and what needs to happen. And so from a dream team standpoint, I think we get a chance to lead together and we get a chance to help each other anticipate, okay, this is what's going to have to happen next, or this is what's going to be needed, or hey, this is how we're going to navigate this. Not so much because we wrote it on a piece of paper, but instinctually we want to create an environment where Jesus is made sense of, and that means we got to pursue excellence. And so I think a very simple example of this is learning to, from a Sunday morning standpoint, and we've seen this during like the holiday seasons, is when our ushers or welcoming team have to anticipate when to add more chairs or when to find seats for families. Learning to anticipate that is not simply so that we have enough seats, yes, but it really is a way of making Jesus make sense to possibly a new family who has never stepped foot into a church. And so we're effective by being able to anticipate what needs to happen next for the sake of that person experiencing Jesus firsthand. And then I think lastly, inside of being effective, is we get feedback. Now this kind of comes off of constantly improving, but to be effective, I have to more than likely ask for feedback. And asking for feedback is not a fun process and is not always enjoyable. And yet it's really helpful. So simple question, how can I be more effective? Or what can I do better? Or what? How did I do? Tell me one positive and one thing I can work on, right? And so all of those things that I think can become very easily asked and also can become something that we're pursuing excellence together in. And so, what I do with that when it comes to trying to be effective is I've created a sermon feedback loop. So I send my rough draft sermon to our leadership team, usually on Thursday, if I'm lucky Thursday, sometimes Friday. And I let them peruse through it and give me any suggestions. I kind of look through it again and then preach it on Sunday. And then Sunday afternoon, I have a post-sermon feedback team. It's a whole different set of people that give me feedback based on how I did or what I preached about in the service. And what that's helped me done is it helped me process like where I'm effective and where I'm not effective. And so simple ways of just looking at someone you're serving with and say, how could I do this better? Where could I learn? Or things of that nature can be a incredibly encouraging thing to being effective, right? Mm-hmm. Which is, we want to be effective for the gospel. And sometimes that just takes working and processing and kind of growing in different things of that nature. So be efficient, be effective. Last one is be engaging, right? Is that the one?
Engaging, yep.
Engaging. We changed the word right before we started. So, but be engaging. And so this is the thing. When it comes to, let me ask you this, Paige. What do you think it means to be engaging from a serving standpoint? Mm. If I were just to say that, what goes through your minds?
I think it means... not even necessarily plastered with a smile, making yourself seem as cheerful as possible. I think it simply means walking up to somebody and being unashamed to ask who they are, to ask where they've come from. And again, from someone who has maybe struggled with that in the past, I've found great joy in doing that recently, being bold in walking up and saying, hey, I've never met you before. Can you tell me your name? What brought you here? I think that's engaging. Asking their name, asking for a story, remembering a name, how powerful that is. There's many funny stories I probably could tell about names, but walking up and asking somebody, hey, what's your name? How long have you been coming here? And they're like, been coming here for 4 months. What are you talking about? And you're like, you know what? We've That's okay.
Yep.
If you had never met that person before, you walked up and you were bold in asking them who they were. Now, if you'd met them 8 times and had forgotten their name and forgotten who their face 8 times, maybe that's another issue.
That's on you, man.
But in that case, you're walking up, you're engaging them, and you're saying, hey, this is who I am. I want to know who you are. Yep. And even if their reciprocation is not totally there, maybe the conversation's a little awkward or you feel uncomfortable or whatever. You maybe were weird or they were weird or whatever. At least you took that step forward, walking into a space that was uncomfortable or new and saying, I would like to know more about you. Here's some information about me. Where can we take this next? That's engaging to me.
Oh, I think you're so right. And that is, it's people first, job title or job responsibility second. Now, we always are prepared with the job responsibilities to meet people through that, but you're always engaging people. And I think the idea of engaging people, it is often means taking us out of our comfort zone, and it's often challenging us to have the conversation that sometimes feels awkward and inviting people into that, right? I think it's the first thing with being engaging is usually it takes us out of our comfort zone. Now listen, just as uncomfortable as you think you are, it's probably double for the person you're talking to for the first time. I've learned this in the Sunday morning setting is I don't think people always know how to interact with the friendliness and the someone coming up and wanting to know about them. And so one of the best ways to display Jesus is by getting to know them inside of this environment. This was years ago, a lady tell me that she was confused by the friendliness of our church. And it like grew on her over time, but she just didn't know how to interact with it.
Yeah.
And so if it's awkward at first, it might just be simply awkward, and that's okay. And Jesus, I think, meets people in the awkward. I think you're right. The second thing is like remembering things about them. Remember their name. Now, a little trick that I've learned. It's not 100% perfect, but it's about 95% perfect. I have done this where if I meet someone new for the first time, I ask them their name, and then you get to ask questions. And then before we end the conversation, I always just say, okay, one more time, what's your first name?
Yep.
And usually that helps it stick.
For sure.
For me, at least, not for everybody. But find a way to associate that. Because if you can remember their name the next time that they come, mm-hmm. it has a whole lot more weight than, hey, what's your name again? It makes it personal. And so remembering their name, remembering stories, hey, your son had a baseball game this week. Like, how'd that go? Or, hey, you did this week. Or you had the job interview. Like, how'd that go? It will help people stick. And it is pursuing excellence. Not simply that they're a face coming in, but they're a name and a story and a person walking in that God wants to invite into his story.
Yep.
And so there's all those things. And then I would say this, the last thing when it comes to be engaging is simultaneously we seek, and I think there's always going to be tension in this. We always seek to be kind and we always seek to be excellent at what we do. So it's the whole grace and working through things. And so seeking to be kind and then seeking to do the best with what we have, seeking to do the best at the role that we're playing is the tension that we're going to feel when it comes to be engaging. Sometimes you're going to have to lean towards engaging with someone, being kind or having the conversation and forsake sometimes having that job responsibility play out like you thought it would. And then sometimes you just have to get the job done and sometimes you have to move conversations on and things like that. There's always going to be attention to how do I engage people and do my job really well. And what everybody has to know is I feel that every Sunday where I'm directing traffic and trying to talk to people and trying to this and trying to that. And it's never going to be perfect, but never, I would say, if you had to lean one way, always lean towards gracious and kind,
mm-hmm.
and let the rest of the dominoes fall as they need to. And so all of that to be said, I think these three things are a good starting point. Be efficient, be effective, be engaging as you seek to come here every Sunday, Wednesday, events on the Dream Team. Martin Luther King Jr., he said this, and I think it's a great way to end it. If a man is called to be a street sweeper, he should sweep streets even as Michelangelo painted or Beethoven composed music or Shakespeare wrote poetry. He should sweep streets so well that all the hosts of heaven and earth will pause to say, here lived a great street sweeper who swept his job well. And so I think inside of that, the encouragement that he is encouraging us with years and years later is that in everything you do in life, do it for the glory of God. And do it in such a way that those in heaven, on earth, are like, he's doing it for the glory of God. On the Dream Team, we should seek to do that. And so I think the application here is this, is what is one area that you can grow in as you serve on the Dream Team? Like, what's one area of your role, your serving position that you want to grow in maybe, or you see need to grow in? Inside of the Dream Team, and then how can we help you with that, right? And so we have conversations with individuals, teams, all that stuff. We're trying to always make it better. We're trying to always find ways to make it better. But how do you take this from information to kind of boots on the ground? And I would mm-hmm. say it's asking that question for each and every one of us.
Yep, for sure. Awesome, everybody. Well, we're really glad you joined us for this episode 4 of our Dream Team podcast. Remember to keep pursuing people, pursuing Jesus, and pursuing excellence as we talked about today. And we will catch you next time.
See ya.